Yeah, I was thinking of trying to how to describe things as we start this morning. And first of all, I'd like to thank you for being here and apologize for all the interruptions we get during class. But there's not much I can do about it. So, but I appreciate the fact that you're here. As I was saying. Oh, boy. So, you know, we do get some distractions and, you know, deaf people come in here and they have to say real loud hi to everybody. So we'll just try to move on from there. We're talking about some important things, hopefully, this way you look at it, that's the way I look at it, in our discussion in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, that one sentence there that concerns us of the potential that is ours. And that's quite a verse, two verses there. And we're into the second verse discussing this part, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And that title that he's given there, author and finisher, is just one among many peaks of, if you will, his names. In Colorado, we have 14,000-foot mountains, 54 of them. And each one of them has a name. And you get up on the top and look around, and you can see the other 14,000-footers. And so these names that we are going to go over again of Jesus that are found in some of them in Hebrews here and some of them in other places in Scripture, again, are all kind of like peaks because he referenced him in different offices and different titles and different names of his. We found in just in Hebrews that this man, Jesus, has been written to be called the Son of God, the first begotten, the firstborn of every creature, the creator of all things, the heir of all things, the one by whom all things consist, the beginning, the one who was in the beginning, and also he is known as the Word of God and the image of the invisible God. Those are several peaks, those names. The Redeemer, the Forgiver of Sin, the Head of the Body, which is the Church. He's called in Hebrews 2:10 the Captain of our Salvation. He's also noted in Hebrews 8:2 to be a Minister of the Sanctuary. And last week we were going over how he was our apostle and high priest. And if you go back a few pages from Hebrews 12 to Hebrews 8:1, Paul begins to summarize about Jesus Christ being our high priest. And he started introducing this back earlier in Hebrews. And he says in Hebrews 8:1, now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. Here's what it amounts to. We have such an high priest, Jesus, who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. And then, as we left last week, we were referencing the high priest in his office and what was taking place in the book or in the chapter of Hebrews 7 and 24. And so let's go back there and we can kind of catch up with how he is our high priest and how this affects the things that we are looking at as he is our author and finisher. Okay, that's another title of his. So Hebrews 7:24, we'll start there. And it says there, and this, I'm reading from the literal Greek translation, starting in Hebrews 7:24. But he has the priesthood not to be passed on. Remember, his priesthood was after the order of Melchizedek, not after the order of Aaron. He has the priesthood not to be passed on because of his remaining to the age. And from this, he is able to save to perfection those that come unto God through him, ever living to intercede on their behalf. By the way, I'm going to pause here for a second because the thought comes to me concerning this word perfection. He's perfect, isn't he? He is a perfectionist. And I know we'd all like to be that way, some of us. Perfect, perfectionist. Well, he is, okay? And he appreciates the fact that we try to do the things that way ourselves. However, we always seem to fall short. But so it says in verse 26, for such a high priest was fitting for us, holy, without evil, undefiled, having been separated from sinners and having become higher than the heavens. Verse 27, who has no need, as do the high priest, to offer up sacrifices day by day, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For he did this once for all, having offered up himself. And so let's go back now to Hebrews 4:14 and tie all these thoughts together, which we finished with last week and which we are beginning with here this morning. So it says in Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens. If you don't know who that is, he tells you right here. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We're there all the time, seems like. We need mercy and grace because we're always in time of need, because we're still here and we need help. And so he's the one that can help us. In John 14:13, Jesus told his disciples, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. In John 14:14, he goes on to say, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So he tells you how to ask. And then in 1 John, I'll give you a minute to go there just before Revelation. In 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15, the Apostle John, who heard these words from Jesus, he got it. And he writes in 1 John 5, 14 and 15, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. And if we know not, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have petitions that we desire of him. So Paul knew this, and he wrote along these same lines in Ephesians 3:20. And you know this one, but I'll let you get there and look at it. Because we need these kind of thoughts and these kind of encouragements in our hearts as we pray, as we seek the Lord. We want God's best, I think, or we wouldn't be here. But it says in Ephesians 3:20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." And we can ask and think a lot of things. And he's able to do above and beyond, far above and beyond all of that, according to the power that worketh in us. What is that power? The Holy Spirit. So again, we make note of what we just read there in Hebrews 4:16, knowing all this. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now I want you to go to Hebrews 10:19, and we'll get to our concluding thoughts, at least for now, concerning Jesus, who is the captain of our salvation, and the apostle and high priest. And let's read what he wrote there in Hebrews 10:19, starting there. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith." What's the big umbrella that hangs over Hebrews 12:1-2? It's faith. It's the umbrella of faith. It hangs over the whole book of Hebrews. And it really is highlighted in Hebrews 11 and in Hebrews 12:1-2. So back to Hebrews 12:2. And I want to review something we said, I don't remember if it was last week or the week before, concerning Jesus being the author and finisher of faith. The Greek word translated author in Hebrews 12:2 is archegos. It's number 747 in the Strong's Greek Concordance. And it signifies one who takes a lead in or provides the first occasion of anything. That's the word author. Okay? Speaking of Jesus. It's found four times in Scripture in three of our English words. We find this word archegos translated prince, translated captain, and translated author. Archegos is translated prince in Acts 3:15, where Jesus is called the Prince of Life. And again in Acts 5:31, where Jesus is noted to be a prince and a savior. Archegos, number 747 in the Strong's Greek, is translated captain in Hebrews 2:10, where Jesus is noted to be the captain of our salvation. And then archegos is translated author here in Hebrews 12:2, where we are told and encouraged to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so, as the author of faith, Jesus is the originator of faith. He is the beginner of faith. And one commentator put it like this: Jesus is the leader on of faith. You want more faith, you need more Jesus, is what we're saying here. And we all do, okay? Now, here's an interesting thought. We also find the word author in the word authority, because you can't spell authority without using the word author first. And where is Jesus? He's seated presently on the throne of authority at the right hand of the majesty on high. That's brought out early on there in Hebrews. And here's another interesting thing about the word authority. We find it 37 times in the Word of God. Anybody remember what the number 37 points to? The Word of God. Alex is really sharp. And besides that, he's got his cheat sheet right there. Which is what I have to do too. But isn't that something? You think that's an accident that the word authority is found exactly 37 times in Scripture, pointing to the Word of God? But who is the Word of God? Jesus. Revelation 19:13 defines the Word of God, noting that it is one of the many names of Jesus. And it says there in Revelation 19:13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. So by his God-given authority, Jesus is before all things, and by him all things consist. A fact that we have read previously in Colossians 1:17. If you want to go back there to Colossians 1, I'll look at it with you, starting in verse 15. And there's a lot more that we could have referenced from Colossians 1. But these are things concerning Jesus, thoughts concerning Jesus. In Colossians 1:15, it speaks of Jesus. It says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So these thoughts, these words, these things that we've looked at here magnify the author and finisher of faith. Who is Jesus? Who is the authority on faith and the authority of faith? Okay, now, I want to give you some more titles and names of Jesus. The author and finisher of faith is just one of the many titles and descriptions of our Lord and Savior that's found in Scripture. And that one is unique, author and finisher. We just call him our Lord and Savior. And the phrase, our Lord and Savior, is a title attributed to him by Peter, mostly, in 2 Peter. I'll give you the scriptures, you can look it up. 2 Peter 1:11, 2 Peter 2:20, 2 Peter 3:2, in 2 Peter 3:18, where he calls Jesus the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Deuteronomy, and we're going to jump around to a few places in the Bible to see some different names and titles of Jesus, because he has many. In Deuteronomy 10:17, we find a very profound statement. Remember, Deuteronomy is the last speech given by Moses to the children of Israel And in Deuteronomy 10:17, Moses says, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible." Now that doesn't mean awful. That means one to reverence, one to honor and respect, one to be held in awe of. That's what the word terrible means. It's kind of a poor translation the way it comes across in our English, I think, but that's what it means. "Which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward." And so these names and titles that we read there are also titles of Jesus found in some other places. For example, go to 1 Timothy 6:15. And Paul is writing to Timothy concerning Jesus. And he says in 1 Timothy 6:15, and here we find three more titles of Jesus. Some of these are a repetition of what we just read. "Which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords." And we find again a similar statement in Revelation, and I'm going to give you several from Revelation. Revelation 17:14. And in Revelation 17:14, "These shall make war with the Lamb." The Lamb is another name of Jesus. "And the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." And then go over to Revelation 19:16. We just read from 19:13 earlier. But in 19:16 it says, "And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords." This is Jesus. These are his titles, some of them. Well, I encourage you to read the whole 136th Psalm and see some more names and titles of Jesus. But David probably was the psalmist who wrote that psalm. He knew these titles of Jesus. And he wrote in Psalm 136:3, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever." And then in Psalms 95:3, and you can either turn there or just make a note of it. In Psalms 95:3, we read, "For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." These are titles, again, that reference Jesus. Now, in our study in Hebrews 12:2, 1 and 2, and we looked at some things last week and earlier today, we noted that Jesus is called a Prince and a Savior. There's the two titles of him right there. In Acts 5:31. And Acts 5:31 in total reads like this. Speaking of Jesus, "Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a Prince and a Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." And then I said we're going to look at several in Revelation, and I want you to see these, because these go right along with the title that we're looking at, Author and Finisher. And go to Revelation 1. And then we'll look at some in Revelation 21 and 22. But in Revelation 1, we find Jesus making an announcement. And if you have a red letter edition, you'll see these words are in red. Revelation 1:11, he has a title called the First and the Last, and he says it like this. And he says some more things there in Revelation 1:11, among which is, I am Alpha and Omega, the First and the Last. Go to Revelation 21:6. And in Revelation 21:6, Jesus repeats himself again as he has the apostle John write, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And then, if you have a red letter edition Bible, in Revelation 22:12-13, you'll find some more words of Jesus where he again repeats four of his names and titles. He says in Revelation 22:12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Verse 13, Revelation 22:13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. There's four names and titles of Jesus found here in verse 13. One is I am. One is Alpha and Omega. The third one, the beginning and the end. And the fourth one, the first and the last. And then he gives one more big title in Revelation 22:16. He says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Note this. Here's a title of Jesus. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Now, for those of you that are preachers or inclined to give a lesson or whatever, there are multiple sermons in each of these above names and titles of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I would encourage you to take the time on your own and study just the name or the title, I Am, in Scripture. And you'll find the same I Am appearing to Moses in Exodus 3:14 and telling him that I am that I am. Okay? And Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In John 8:23, Jesus says, I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Okay? In John 8:58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. That's his name. One of them. In John 9:5, Jesus proclaims, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And we read that again in John 8:12 earlier. In another time in John 12:46, Jesus repeats and states, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And that very same light, glorified, appeared unto Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus and told him in Acts 9:5, and in Acts 22:8, and in Acts 26:15, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And that just barely scratches the surface of the I Am's referencing Jesus in Scripture. And then you probably remember, some of you that have been here a long time, Brother Hill preaching several sermons on Jesus being the Alpha and Omega. That's a title of Jesus. How about the beginning and the end? We read that. That's another title of Jesus. How about Jesus being the first and the last? And remember, as Brother Hill pointed these things out, he told us that Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet and Omega the last. All the words that are written with letters of the alphabet, so he's the alphabet in everything of all the letters in between. He's every word in the Word of God, but he is the Word of God. And every word in the Word of God is written with letters from A to Z, from Alpha to Omega, in other words. So he's the Alpha and Omega. And the same concept holds true for the numbers. For Jesus is every number from the first and the last, and everything in between, if you can come up with everything in between. And then in Hebrews 13:8, the Apostle Paul, realizing all this, he just kind of sums it up into one sentence, and he says it like this: Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That takes you from way back to way beyond the first and the last, okay? And it defines him as being the beginning and the end and everything in between. But he still is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let me give you this in a summary, kind of what we've said. These are titles and names of Jesus. We just found that Jesus is the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Alpha and Omega, the I Am that I Am, the Almighty. He's the originator who spoke the world into existence. He was in the beginning. He is the beginning. He's the creator of all things. He's the one by whom all things consist. He's called the Son of God, the heir of all things, the first begotten, the image of the invisible God, the Redeemer, the forgiver of sins, the head of the body, the church, the apostle and high priest, the truth, the life, the Word of God, the captain of our salvation, the author of eternal salvation, the prince of life, the prince of peace, the prince of faith. He's also called a prince and a savior, the king of glory, the king of kings and lord of lords, the holy one of Israel, the lamb of God, the blessed and only potentate, a healer, a provider, a shepherd, the prophet of the highest, a deliverer, a buckler, a shield, a high tower, a rock, a fortress, a very present help in the time of need, a refuge in the times of trouble, a sanctifier, a lifter up, a strengthener, a counselor, the mighty God, the Son of Man, the justifier, the hope of Israel, the righteous Lord. The list goes on. You can look them up yourself. But here in Hebrews 12:2, Jesus is called by another unique title, the author and finisher of faith. The above titles and names of Jesus is an immense amount of information. It's an immense amount of authority, if you will. Remember, you won't find the word authority written without the word author in it, okay? And that's a lot of things to take in all at once. So we've talked a little bit about Jesus being the author. Now let's talk a little bit about him being the finisher of faith. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, again, the first, the last, all these things, okay? The word finisher, and you can look it up, is only found this one time in our King James Version of Scripture, another unique name of his. And to begin, and we probably won't finish this, I know we won't because we'll run out of time, but to begin to grasp the depth in the word finisher, just go back to John 19:30 and go back to the cross and read again Jesus' final words before he died, which are recorded in John 19:30. It says in John 19:30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. What is that word? Brother Hill went over it a lot of times. Telio, that's the Greek of it. Telio means it is finished. Okay, now, when he cried, "It is finished," his work, when he cried Telio, his work on the cross was finished. It was brought to an end as he who knew no sin was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's found in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Again, the word finisher is only found this one time in Scripture. That's in Hebrews 12:2. And the Greek word that translates to finisher is teleotis. It's really close in your Strong's Greek Concordance. It's number 5051. I think teleo is 5055. Teleotis means a completer, a consummator, or a finisher. It means a perfecter. We talked about that a little bit this morning. And it also means one who has in his own person raised faith to perfection and so set before us the highest example of faith. That's what the word finisher means. So in other words, Jesus, concerning faith, is beyond comparison as he is preeminent in this regard, being first the beginning of faith, its author, and the ending of faith, its finisher or completer. Many of you probably have a Vine's dictionary, and you will not find Vine able to define this word in his dictionary. It was one that he left out or was beyond him to put into words. That's what I'm thinking. Hope you got something out of it. You can study these things out. We'll probably review a little of this next week and continue on from there, Lord willing. And I hope he comes way before then.